The sad part was canned music. You can't dictate where you want to be, right?
The speed of the pitch.
Amen. Well, this morning will be interesting. Pastor's home recovering. Miss Lisa's here in quarantine. Actually, no, I think she'll be just fine. She better be. Because she's got a bundle of interpreting to do this morning. But what we want to do this morning is I'm going to introduce our next lesson, because there's some nice meaty stuff we can start with. And then I'd like to have an opportunity in the latter or the bulk of our Sunday school time to open for testimonies. Because, you know, the Lord's been doing a lot of work here. So open, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're giving Pastor a nice break. He's hopefully going to be here tonight. And he's feeling good. I hope he doesn't try to overdo it. But we'll be going through the three things God cannot do. And he's going to get Brian saved. If he doesn't feel up to it, then I'm going to get lost and Brian can get me saved. I'm sure, and hopefully what it will do, we'll also open opportunity for some questions. And I'm sure, you know, that's one of the goals that he would like a little feedback on it. And I think we're going to try and set it up kind of as the booth will try to be, I think. I know Lindsay's got a cloth that they've got to go over it, so we'll kind of set it up like that, so that at least to get an idea, and you'll also get an idea of how crowded it can be with four people and somebody you're trying to lead to the Lord. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, right up front, I'll tell you that this is a difficult section. More so than the last groups, because every commentator I talked with, or every that I read and was studying, and even J. Vernon McGee happened to have one of his lessons dealing with this specific one, a question on it, of veil wearing and head covering. Now I notice that none of your ladies here have a veil on your head. And we have ladies here with shorter than hair. Fortunately, us guys here, we don't have our heads covered. Some of us, more uncovered than most. But the whole of this is such that the Apostle Paul, even though it was mentioning head coverings, using them and not using them, when to use them, how to use them, the idea was he was trying to get across is that the Church of Corinth was struggling with things of the pagan religions coming into that church and kind of that happening. And it's happening today. We see in churches things of the world coming in and affecting how the service is. And as we go through here, we're going to talk about women prophesying and praying in public. And of course, over in chapter 14, what's the Apostle Paul say? Women will not teach, be silent, da, 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 da. You know, there's no contradiction, and I'm going to discuss that in the morning service. So, I'm going to introduce this, kind of present it, ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to turn it over for some testimonies. If we finish early, well, that gives more time for coffee. But, the first two verses. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keeping the ordinances as I delivered them unto you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity to look into your word. Father, I thank you how you take care of us. We do pray for Pastor as he's regaining his strength, and well, hopefully we'll be here for the evening service. Pray, Father, now that you'll strengthen him up. I do thank you that you've given opportunity to present this lesson, not only here but in the morning service. Father, I pray that we as we look into that, will understand that while the topic may seem unusual and obscure, the application is vital for today's, even today as it was back then. Father, I thank you that you are a God of order. You established the Godhead, and you placed a Trinity in the Godhead, but yet each one is individual. Each has a specific purpose. Some want to make it three individuals, but Father, you're one. You're a Father, you're the Son, and you're the Holy Spirit. Each is eternal. Each is coexistent. Each has a specific function and is in that role, subjection to the other, just as each one of us are in subjection to you. Father, I thank you again for just your loving kindness and showing us the wisdom and direction in our lives as we need to go forward. And I ask this all in your Son's precious name and for his sake. Amen. Has anybody ever thought about or asked you what your rights are as a Christian? Now, I think the lesson kind of talked a little bit about it, but it didn't talk anymore about it. So as a Christian, what rights do you have? Anybody want to jump on that bandwagon? Lisa? We have no rights? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, we have rights. Should we exercise them, I guess?
Yeah, okay. Brother Charles?
Well, I'm saved already, so I can pretty much do whatever I want, right?
Yeah, well, that's what it says. But that's not a real right. That's just a something you have. Along with rights, though, you know, when you exercise rights, there's responsibility. So if you want to exercise those liberty rights, you have responsibility. But God, when we got saved, actually allowed us some rights that we have. You know, one of them is, you know, in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we have the right to ask God, you know, I need some help here. It's a wonderful right. Just as children go up to their parents and ask questions, hopefully. The other is we have the right to come literally into God's throne room. When we're in prayer, when we're there, we are in the presence of God. And that's, you know, a couple of wonderful rights that we have. You know, Hebrews 10:19-20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He, you know, on the cross, Christ secured these kind of rights for us. As Americans, we've got some rights. We, you know, the Declaration of Independence that we sent to England declared a lot of things that, you know, that we're endowed by our Creator, many unalienable rights, a variety of things. And it talks about pursuit of happiness. And those are rights that we're given as human beings. But many of us, being Christians, are adopted children. And when you think of that, adopted children have the same rights as a child born into the family. The very same rights. So what Jesus Christ has as God's Son, we have as his heirs. He calls us joint heirs, as a matter of fact. And so this lesson, it's broken up into two segments. One of them is dealing about the order of worship and the conduct of it, and then what's happening at the Lord's Supper. And I did lay it down here. There it is. This little tool. You know, we just finished up exercising our liberty within the boundaries of love and the way in which we ourselves are to govern when we're with other Christians. And it's amazing, throughout the week I was hearing little bits and sermon after sermon talking about Christian liberty. And taking it too far in some ways, and some of it getting us into trouble, and some of us not getting in trouble. And this whole of what we're what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in Corinth is the creeping in of things that are happening. And it's important to realize that it can happen in any church. Things of the world do creep in. Many of the traditions that happen locally, and talking about those in Greece and in Judea and places like that, it was normal for women to have their head covered when they were in public as a sign of subjection or subordination to their husband. Not in a way that they were, you know, walking 10 paces behind and that, you know, they're not to be seen in public with anybody but their husband. No, they were talking about women as they're in public and going about things in public. And actually one commentator was discussing the difference between a married woman and a maiden or a girl. It didn't talk about widows, didn't talk about anything like that, but married women, they had long hair, which was normal. And it's even laid out here of asking the question of, you know, local customs affecting the whole church and talking about things that are in order. But the reality of what was being presented is, what is your attitude? Men were praying with their head covered as a sign of dishonor to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we get in the morning service, we're going to talk a little bit more how that's laid out. Now what I'm going to do is turn this over to people for a bit of a testimony. And I will start it out with one that my wife and I had together this week. As you know, I had a cousin that just passed away. My wife also had a cousin just pass away. Both were of cancer. And my aunt was asking me about, you know, what would they have at a memorial service. And it turns out her children, my cousin's children, are setting up the service on Sunday afternoon, right after church, on the 12th. And I talked with my cousin about it and said we might not make it, depending on what's going on. Well, we got a phone call asking, what can we have at this service? What can be presented? And so we had a chance to go over and talk with my aunt, and we had some scriptures dealing with death. But what we did is we went through the plan of salvation with my aunt. And most of her family talks about they were baptized and, you know, they attended this church and the kids were allowed to go there. And so we just asked, all right, Aunt Joanne, if you were to die today, would you be 100% sure if you go to heaven? And she just kind of looked, no, I don't think, I don't know for sure. So we took a few minutes with her and asked her, led her through the plan of salvation, basically like what three things God cannot do, because it was so prevalent in her mind. And she asked to pray. And she gave my wife a nice big squeeze, assuring her that, yes, I do know that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And we tried to assure her that my cousin, if she could tell her, the one thing that she would want everybody that would be there, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to know 100%. And she took the scriptures that we had laid out and the shortness there. And I don't know if I'll be presenting anything there, but her son, who is attending the church in Lebanon with the Bridges, and he's a real quiet man, and we're trying to encourage him to use that opportunity. And Brother Bridges might be the one leading it. I don't know. But we do know that out of that, one more of our family got saved and accepted Christ. Anybody else want to step up here and say a little? I'm going to step back and Ms. Patricia?
I have my copy. You know, but the problem is that
nobody can hear you. But that's okay. I'll stand next to you. My wife, and I'll hold her hand, just as she holds, you know, when.
Y'all know that Cody, our grandson, is up in Washington, and he got married. And he was not really walking with the Lord because he was so busy becoming a soldier. Well, they've joined a church up there, and he's been teaching Sunday school. Well, he told me, or well, she told me, well, he's been teaching children's church is what he's been doing. But what he told me yesterday was, Grandma, I'm going to take over the young marrieds class. I know he's just growing in the Lord, and I'm just praising the Lord. But also, March of next year, he is going to be transferring out to Virginia. Breaks my heart, but you know what? I want him where God wants him, and there are good churches out there, so I'm just praising the Lord.
Anybody else want to step up for a moment? I'm sure Miss Lisa probably does.
Oh, I have a big mouth. I'll go ahead. I will step up.
Hey.
We'll wipe the microphone down later.
Yes, I'll
put my veil up, unclean. this week, of course, has been just a whirlwind of ups and downs, but of course, the grace of God prevailed, and he seeks to show himself strong in the lives of his children, and he did just that. And one of the real blessings of the week was Rebecca's testimony in the hospital. She went in there so sick, and she was recuperating. She was finally over, had just stopped the actual vomiting, and they had started to give her IVs, and she was starting to perk up a little bit, but she was having contractions, and they kept her, which was a good thing, because only 4 hours later, and she had the baby. But the nurses were a little put out that she was there because she was sick. They didn't realize that she was also having labor pains. So Rebecca goes through labor in a very different way than people expect. The room is more like somebody's dying because it's quiet. There's not a sound. Matt and I stand in there, and if we talk, we sign and talk to each other very quietly so she can't hear us. We don't eat. We don't rustle papers. We don't do anything. We listen, and she is very quiet, and she makes no noise. And the only way you know she's having a contraction is because you can see her start to breathe differently, and you can see it on her face, and you can look at the monitor and say, oh, yep, there's a contraction. That's the only way you know. Well, the nurses come in and out during this time, and they were looking at her and checking her and finding out that every time they walked in, they thought, is she really in labor? You could read it on their faces. They walk in the room, they look at Matt and me, they look at Rebecca, and you can just see it. What's going on here? She's not in labor, really, and so nothing's happening. Then they check and they say, oh, okay, yes, so things are happening. Well, the doctor came in, same thing happened, and I finally told him, don't leave. She's getting ready to have the baby, and I could tell he didn't believe me. Because of her demeanor, she looks so peaceful. I know she's in pain. I know that she is. The nurse asked her after she was done. So I tend to ask my moms, how did you prepare for this? And Rebecca just got the biggest smile, and she said, prayer. And she said, we all prayed a lot. She says, and I pray. I take that opportunity to pray through those contractions to my Heavenly Father. And, of course, she's given the gospel while she's telling her. And the nurse is just amazed because she got to see her and watch how it progressed and see that there was not the torturous, you know, the screaming or the, you know, that you might see in someone who's in pain that doesn't know the Lord and who's terrified. There was nothing like that. She looked so peaceful. And to see her come all the way through that and then have the baby, and she doesn't even scream out when she's pushing the baby out. Her face turned red. That's it. But, you know, it was amazing, but you could see that how the Lord used that and used her testimony in their... I know they were talking about it for a very long time after that because of just the testimony. And what she did was she gave that glory to God, because that's where it belonged. That's where the grace came from. That's where the strength came from. That's where he showed himself strong in the life of his child, to be a witness to all those doctors and nurses that were there. And that doctor was amazed. He came in. He said, we got all done, and she's thanking him. And he says, I didn't even do anything. He was hesitant to take any praise. But what a blessing it was to be able to give the Lord glory. And of course, it's a wonderful time, but it's also a difficult time. But giving the Lord praise, and also just the testimony of the family. I think I'm thankful also for the opportunity to build bonds. You know, you go through these things together as a family, and you come out so much stronger, because it was very tough. Poor Papa was at home dealing with some very horrible things, you know, taking care of the children. And Rebecca was just so blessed by that. Matt was so blessed by that. And I know that that's going to be something in their hearts for a long time, just that love for her daddy that she already had, but it got so much stronger, you know. But real blessing how the Lord just worked through everything. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else want to share? Brother Charles?
Yes, I will.
All right.
I turned the coffee pot on, so we'll have coffee.
Oh. Why, am I going to put people to sleep? Well, I have a praise, of course. I've been struggling with my family. Of course, we all pray for our family that we struggle with, trying to get them saved, trying to get them to at least head towards that path, at least to some point. I struggle with my brothers all the time, and my daughters as well, and their mothers as well that are far from God now. And now my mother as well is starting to follow that path as well. So it's really hard to deal with. They don't like me talking about preaching or to them or anything, or even trying to give them the gospel of any sort whatsoever. And it's tough. So it's going to be a different situation now when we go over there to visit, which is probably not going to be as much as we would like to more often. But I know for a fact that the Lord's been talking to me about it. I've been praying about it constantly, and I know He's given me more of a peace about it to let me know that it's not their fault. It's the sin. It's not them. So I still love my family, but it was nice to feel that peace a little bit, that I can't control what sin does to people, and I can't control what they do with it as well. So all I can do is continue to pray. I'm blessed also for this church and for being here. I enjoy that. I don't know where I'd be. I mean, I could have followed the rest of my family and my brothers. And so I'm grateful for my brothers and sisters here and for what the Lord's allowed me to do. And with Matt leaving, taking over the singing, it's helped me to move forward as well. And I can hope to continue to move forward and get stronger as well. And I thank the Lord for that.
We're thankful for you, Brother
Charlie. Yeah, that is difficult to step up here, especially with the curveballs I throw with the music back there. Supposed to have four verses we sing and only three show up on the music. So
I practice the songs at home Saturday and sometimes on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Here it usually changes.
Well, at least he knows. Like this morning, some of the songs that we had, you know, we don't have music for, so we have to do some real quick checking to see what do we have that's similar to it. And he's learned to roll real well with those. I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for Brother Charles and Lynn coming in here, you know, people that clean the church. It's exciting. Anybody else want to add their testimony? Lynn?
I'll do a real quick one.
That's fine. Quick is good.
I just want to say I am really thankful for the Lord's not
turning away from us like we turn away from him sometimes. When I left Harvest Baptist Church, it was a really, really rough time. It was a lot of change after being there so many years. But Charlie's been a real blessing to me. And I just want to say, in the last 6 years, I am so grateful to see the growth in him. And that's just been a real blessing to my heart. And the fact that God just doesn't let us go. He draws us back to him in pure love. And it's been amazing since we've came to this church. And I love our pastor and Lisa and everybody else here.
Any others? Coffee's not done yet. It is wonderful, though, meeting and talking with all the folks here, because we're all like-minded.
Yep.
You know, we focus on the Lord, but yet every one of us are different. That's coming up in a couple of lessons. Anybody? Well, tell you what, then we'll have a short word of prayer, and then we'll just have a time of fellowship afterward for a few minutes. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so, again, thankful. Thankful for each and every one that is here. And I know, Father, that each one of us has a testimony to show how you've guided and directed us in our lives over the last week, over the last months, over the last years. Father, we know that there are so many things in our lives that we could testify continually of what you do for us. And Father, I thank you for the times that we do stop. We do acknowledge you publicly. But Father, I also thank you for the times that we thank you in private. And I do pray that each one of us, when we find our quiet time, that we will spend time thanking you for what you've done for us. And Father, if we haven't done that, I pray that we'll take the time and make it part of our regular prayer time with you. That we just truly thank you for what you do for us. So many times we bring the petitions to you, but forget to thank you for the answered prayer that you give to us. Father, we do know that your wisdom guides and directs us throughout our walk in this life. And I do pray, Father, now that you'll just continue to build us, hold us up, dust us off when we fall down and stumble, and bring us back, that we would be useful for you. And I pray, Father, that that is true for each and every one of us, that we desire to be a used tool for you, and that we not be placed on the shelf. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' precious name.